Well, let's bring in Jason Starkey's, brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Nature's refreshment with over 40 different flavors to get you through extra innings every day. Jason, can you put this in perspective on how bad this August and then September has been for your fighting Phils?
You know, Mike, you take a step back from it, and it's hard to comprehend. They're 4-11 in September, but they're 1-8 against teams not named the Marlins. And the last time they won a series against a team not named the Marlins was July 25th.
That is mind-boggling.
Is that crazy?
But they also haven't played well against the Marlins or the Mets either.
No, the Braves have beat up on this division, and the Phillies have been the opposite. And that's just not a formula to win anything.
No, and you know, some, we're wondering now, like, what's the future of what they have here? We at first thought that this had a future, and now it's like completely changed. And I'm wondering how scouts view this Philly situation, whether they have a foundation that they can build off of, or whether they kind of have to, you know, like melt down to ground zero and then build up again.
No, there's no reason to do that. You know, it is interesting. They've had a bunch of scouts who've been following them. They're not doing it so much anymore, but with an eye toward the postseason. And, you know, picking the brains of those guys, they reinforce something that you and I have been talking about for a while now. And that is, they've got tremendous depth, right? They have a lot of major league players, depth in the big leagues, depth in the system. But do they have difference makers? Do they have game changers? There just aren't enough of them. And, you know, like, here's a thought I had watching the Mets beat up on them. That's all the Mets have done now, right, for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
82-48, the Mets against the Phillies since 2012. But are we sure that the Phillies are in better position to to contend next year than the Mets are?
Mm-hmm.
Would you take DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, or Nola, Arrieta, pick another starter?
Yeah, there's no question. I'd take the Mets guys.
Right?
Yeah.
And then we kind of went through the Nationals last week. You know, like, even if Bryce Harper's not back, they've got Juan Soto. They've got Anthony Rendon. They've got Victor Robles. They've got Trey Turner. They've got Max Scherzer. They've got Steven Strasburg. You know, do the Phillies have those kinds of players? I think we know the answer is not. They do not. But they have the money to spend to chase those guys. So how pivotal is this winter?
Well, it's hugely pivotal. I got to ask you at the start, because I love this concept of game changers and difference makers, because I don't see but one. And maybe the catcher, if they keep him, Wilson Ramos, who once he gets on base is can't run anyway. So let's look at the game changers first of all. Is the shortstop a game changer? Even though he's hit lately, J.P. Crawford. Is the third baseman a game changer? The left fielder is a game changer. Is the center fielder a game changer? The first baseman has more walks than hits, almost, for crying out loud. So, like, you know, I can see them going out and signing Bryce Harper to play right field. But other than that, I mean, really? Is this what they can build with?
Well, that's a really fascinating question. How good is this group of position players? And we can talk about any individuals there that you want, but I mentioned this on the morning show today. It's a front office that pays a lot of attention to the metrics, to the analytics, right? And you can go right to baseballreference.com, and they have a tool that compares all teams ranked in all sorts of different categories by position. And the default ranking is wins above average. The Phillies do not have a single position on the diamond, other than pitcher, where they are above average, not one. And as a group, they add up to minus 16, so 16 wins below average. That is basically the same as the Orioles, a team that's 60 games out of first. And, like, that's a shocking...
Well, that tells me all I need to know, Jason. Right? I mean, all these scouts that say they have depth. Depth of what?
Mike, how did they get into contention? They obviously have a lot of players who can play in the big leagues and are, you know, you can move around different positions, and they've got ability. You know, look, Jorge Alfaro has ability. He has star skills. Reese Hoskins has star skills offensively, and if you could put him back at first base, you'd have a whole different situation. Nick Williams is showing you, right, that he's got some ability. Aaron Altair, I had a scout say to me this week, they're going to trade him or move him, and he's going to turn into Jason Worth.
Well, that's the comparison I always made about him. Yeah. I like the Altair is the only guy I looked at and said that kind of thing about, but then he kind of lost his confidence. Nick Williams is a fourth outfielder. He's not a starting outfielder.
They've had the least productive outfield.
Yeah,
if you rank about by wins above average, they have had the least impactful outfield in the big leagues.
All right, let me get to the crux of the thing. Can they sign? Because there was a story by John Heyman that says they could. Could they sign Harper and Machado?
I mean, I've told you this a couple times. When I've raised that possibility to their people, they do not talk me away from that. Now, can you do it and compete? It's going to take some creativity, man, because if this is two contracts at 8 to 10 years and in the range of $30 million or up, that chews up an enormous amount of payroll. On the other hand, you could front load it as your young players on the field are making no money. And then, you know, much as they did with Jake Arrieta, whose contract goes down $5 million a year, toward the end of the contract, as the Reese Hoskins of the world make more money and Nola, you balance it that way. But it's going to be very difficult to sign both guys and maintain any kind of flexibility in the future. That's the danger of it.
Right.
They're going to chase both of them.
Can they move Santana?
I don't know that that's the plan, but it wouldn't shock me if they did. And I think it's obvious that, you know, Reese Hoskins tries hard in left field. He's a way better first baseman than left fielder. And so if you want to get him back to first base, your options are Santana has to play third or you have to move him. Now, his skills are... I mean, on a two-year deal after this year, I think are movable. But he's such an odd player, right? You mentioned he almost has more walks than hits.
Mm-hmm.
He's got 101 walks and an OPS under 800. He's about to do that for the third time. All other active players have combined to do it no times.
What,
if you like guys who walk, I can see you trading for him. But he's a little different.
What does he make next year?
I believe he's $20 million every year.
$20 million every year. Now they're going to have to pick up some of that salary to move him, I would think.
Probably.
But I think that you have to do something like that. To you can't play him at third base, and you have to squeeze the best out of Hoskins by playing him at first.
Yeah, I agree. If Michael Franco is gone, I'm not sure who the third baseman is. Hey, Josh Donaldson work for you? Somebody like that?
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Like
at every position, there's not a guy you look at any position to go, yeah, he's got that locked. And that's my problem with this team. And Arrieta, I guess they have to keep him because they're paying him a lot of money and he is a competent pitcher. And it wouldn't help your staff if you got rid of him because there's nobody else that is going to assume that kind of role in your rotation. But let me ask you, are they in the market for a starting pitcher, free agent-wise?
I don't think that's a top priority. It depends on other things shake out. I don't know that they would rule it out, but they have a lot of guys who are going to be starting pitchers in the big leagues. They just lack top of the rotation starting pitchers. In Arrieta's defense, by the way, defense on this team really hurts him. The average on balls in play when he pitches is almost 50 points higher here than it was with the Cubs 2 years ago. And so I think that really skews how we look at him. But he's not the same guy, that's for sure.
No, he's not. All right, Jason. We got enough to worry about here. I'm absorbed with preseason hockey now. The Phillies are hardly a blip on my radar now. You know what I'm saying? They're out.
You're living in Pennsylvania. I know that.
Yeah, I am. All right. We'll talk to you, buddy.
Say, Ben.
There he is, Jason Stark. Brought to us by Everfresh Juices and Juice Drinks. Nature's Refreshment. Over 40 different flavors to get you through extra innings every day.